Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Third hour, what's happening? Tiki and Tierney, company from the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Brett Favre giving us a little something to chew on. He floated something out there that we will get to. And by the way, Tiki, did you hear Colin? Listen, you and I, we like Colin. We see him at the Super Bowl. We won't see him this year, but we do like him. You know, I think he's very good, and I like the guy. But did you hear Colin, and with a straight face today, say that the NFL should wait until Mahomes is ready to play?
I did.
Did you see that, Colin?
Yeah, come on now. Man. It doesn't work like that. It's next man up business, always been. It always has, will be.
But always will be. My goodness. And with his straight face, too. He actually believed it. We're going to get with Case Keenum here in a couple of minutes. Back up to Baker Mayfield and the Browns. And his football existence has been quite interesting. Last 5 years, you know, Rams, the Vikings, Denver, Washington. This year, the Browns, very different situations all across the board. So we can kind of use Case as a correspondent, if you will, for the conference championship games, but also go back to what happened with the Browns and the Chiefs this past weekend.
Yeah, no, it was an interesting season, successful season, very successful season for the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, next year will be even more so. So many decisions, particularly around Odell Beckham Jr. Let's face it, Baker played much better when he wasn't there.
Oh, yeah.
And we've talked about that a couple times already. One of those decisions they're going to have to look at and ultimately come to a decision this offseason.
They are, Teague. And to be fair, we talked about it not after he got hurt. We were assessing in real time, like we did with the Giants toward the end with Eli, trying to, you know, stuff those balls into Beckham to placate him. And again, great talent, but there's an interesting aspect of trying to play with Odell Beckham Jr. And you know, I know the Browns have said the right thing, but, you know, he's coming off the surgery, and we'll see where he is. But, you know, they're getting to the point, and this is going to be interesting. They don't have to really wrestle with it yet, but eventually it's coming around the corner here. They've got a lot of good players.
Yeah.
A lot of good players.
Yeah.
Which is good, but it also means that a lot of guys are getting paid.
That's right.
And depending upon how you view and what you view Baker Mayfield's ultimate upside to be, that contract negotiation, I believe firmly it will get done, but I don't know that it's going to be a layup to get to where they want to get right away.
Yeah, look, BT, I'm looking at their cap table right now. This is for 2021.
Yep.
I mean, Jarvis Landry is making a good amount of money. Odell, obviously. Sheldon Richardson is making 13. His cap number, at least, is 13.
13?
His cap number is $13 million. His base salary next year is $12 million.
What?
Yeah. Miles Garrett's got a big cap number.
Well, that's fine.
Their center, J.C. Tretter. Baker, obviously, Betonio, Denzel Ward, Conklin. I mean, just a bunch of players.
There's good players on that team.
Like, and there's a reason that they what 11 games. There's a reason they won 11 games this year. BT is because they're talented, and they finally got the right coach with Kevin Stefanski. But still, I mean, that's the hardest thing I think in the NFL. BT is developing a team and having it time just right so you don't lose those guys to free agency or salary cap situations. It's what John Lynch had been balancing so much with their defense over the last couple of years. It's why they keep drafting, you know, defensive linemen, because they know they're going to lose one or two of them. And so they got to draft new ones to replace them. And it held up until they had injuries that were just insurmountable this past season.
Yeah, you know, this is one of the things that drives me nuts about the NFL, and it's you ultimately get penalized, not right away, but you ultimately get penalized for drafting well and developing properly.
That's right.
You ultimately get penalized.
It's
guys bounce.
It's a shame.
So it's terrible.
Unless you win, like, right away in the first three or four years of those great drafts, then you end up losing those players simply because you can't pay them.
But that's why. How are the Chiefs doing this? Hill's getting paid. Kelce's getting paid. Mahomes got obviously what he got, and he could have gotten more if he wanted to be greedy. I mean, how are they doing it?
So part of it is, you know, guys like, I'm trying to think of like Hardman. He's not making a bunch of money yet. Hardman isn't making money yet.
Okay.
Somebody else just stayed. One of their wide receivers. I'm forgetting his name now. I forget whoever. I can't remember his name. But the receiver took less than he could have taken somewhere else because he knew he was going to maybe repeat for a championship.
Yep.
So he came back and on a lesser deal. I think it's just timing. They got some heavy numbers, though. Frank Clark's number's heavy. I'm just looking at it now. Tyreek Hill, Matthew is hungry, yeah. Heavy. They're going to have salary cap issues in a couple of years. But the beauty is that their quarterback is on a team-friendly deal for the next, the next 5 years. You know, I'm looking at the cap number. Pat Mahomes is like seventh.
But what happens when the 5 years expire and he gets $500 million.
But then you extend it or you restructure it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's just like
the way that they did that deal with Mahomes, because it's ultimately worth $500 million.
Yeah.
It allowed them so much flexibility. So their quarterback's not making $35 million. He's making $24 million relative to the cap, that is.
You need some assistance. Not everybody's taking a below market deal like Brady. Everybody's doing the right thing for the franchise like Mahomes. But That's a different conversation, I guess, for a different day. Right now, we get a chance to wrap up. You know, I know they wanted to win. I know their fans wanted to win. But by every measurable, at least from our seat, hell of a season for the Cleveland Browns. Teak, we're joined by their backup quarterback, Case Keenum, who had a great year a couple of years back with the Vikings, and he knows the NFL as well as anybody. He's been around the block for sure. Case, Teak, and Tierney, how you doing today?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. How are y'all?
Really well. I'm sure you heard me on the intro. Congrats. I know you guys were looking for more, but congrats on an awesome season. Some bad breaks in the last game, which we'll obviously get to. But all in all, it must have been a blast, and you guys must have really enjoyed it.
You know, it was. And the further away you get from the sting of the other night, you know, what is today, Tuesday? You know, it's still – it still hurts, but man, you can't take away anything that this team did. The city's fans, the Browns organization, just everybody involved with this season has nothing to hang their hat on or nothing to hang their head down about. Because man, it's been a special year, and it was really fun to be a part of. That's for sure.
You know, Case, it's interesting because you've been to a couple of different stops, and I'm sure you, like everybody, had a preconceived notion about what Cleveland was going to be like. This was your first year there. When you got there, obviously Coach Stefanski was new, and it was a different energy, I'm sure, than what had previously permeated the grounds there. But when you walked in and those first few months, what did it feel like to you? Did it feel like, man, this is one of the worst organizations that we've seen in the NFL? Or what did it feel like it was fresh, like the product on the field ultimately turned out to be?
You know, one it was a little different because we didn't walk in the building for
That's
a while.
That's a great point.
Until, late July there for training camp. Even beforehand, and then when we actually did walk in the building, you know, I have been a part of a lot of different places and talked to a lot of friends, and there's organizations who are top shelf and first class, and other ones that aren't. And I tell you, the Browns organization, from top to bottom, is first class, and the way they do things, the way they operate, the facilities are great, but the people, is specifically what I'm talking about, man, from all the way to the top to the grounds crew.
Baker's the grounds crew.
yeah, obviously. He takes very good care of his own place.
That's a good point.
It's his house. He better.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, the commercials are great, man. Even the commercial, that's awesome. I mean, it's all really good. So.
But it's interesting you say that, because I feel like the commercials made it feel like the Browns were this, like, a different organization that we've expected. And maybe that was intentional or maybe it wasn't. You're right about the people. A good friend of mine who used to work at the Giants, Peter John Baptiste, is your PR guy. And so, I understand how the people are right. The product, how did that get right? And really over, it was overnight. It went from this, sub-mediocre to this really good, consistent product that we saw on the field every week last season.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't think this, you know, the success ingredient, the secret recipe is it was overnight. You know, ask Joel Bitonio, you know, who spent his whole career there and won as many games this year as he has probably his entire career there, you know, 7 or 8, 9 year career. So, you know, it wasn't overnight for him. It wasn't overnight for, you know, those all those guys I was telling you about that work in the building who have been there for years, for decades. You know, so I think that, man, I think Kevin and Andrew put together the right combination of people and, you know, just guys were ready to work and they put in the work. And Kevin and his coaching staff with AVP, Joe Woods, man, the DC and all those guys, they put us in the right position to be successful. And, you know, I think Baker did a heck of a job leading the guys this year. It wasn't easy to learn an entire new offense that really was very, very different from what he had been used to. You know, what Kevin brought in and he was able to do it on Zoom in the off season and then a shortened training camp and no preseason games. So that was impressive on his part, you know, specifically speaking Baker, but, the whole team, the whole staff, man, it was hats off to everybody for doing a great job.
Yeah. And I want to ask you a little bit more about Baker. That's Case Keenum, of course. And listen, you yourself had to go through this. It's one, you didn't have to learn it on Zoom necessarily, but you know, when you're going from the Rams to the Vikings to Denver and you're going through five teams in 5 years, you yourself are going in new playbook, new teammates, new style, new voices. It's hard. So you can certainly appreciate what Baker had to do in this crazy pandemic offseason. Tiki asked you about your perception of the Browns coming in, and we all had the same perception, even though we both thought on this show they'd be a playoff team this year. Up until the last year or so, they've been a punchline, you know, basically 30 years, unfortunately. What did you think about Baker before you actually got in a quarterback room with him on Zoom? Well, eventually on Zoom with him. Were you surprised he was so buttoned up? What were your preconceived notions about Baker Mayfield specifically?
You know, somebody asked me that, and I didn't have a ton. You know, probably the first thing is that we're Texas quarterbacks, and you know how Texas quarterbacks stick together. You know, there's a lot of them in the NFL. But probably like everybody, I watched him in college and do what he did. I knew he was a polarizing figure and loved his commercials, thought they were hilarious. So that's about all I had going in. But, man, he invited me out to Austin when we had some throwing sessions there early in the spring, and man, you know, was a sponge and just wanted to know everything I knew about the offense that Kevin was going to bring in. And man, he put in the work. And Chose. Honestly, I can honestly say that he was one of the best leaders I've been around. It's impressive, and it's been really fun to have a front row seat to watch what he did this year.
Wow, it's a good scouting report, yeah. Huh, Teak?
How far is Wiley from Lake Travis?
So I went to Wiley High School here in Abilene. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of Wileys in Texas, yeah. But we're probably three and a half hours. But,
okay.
Houston, where we live now, I drove up, and it's about the same.
Nice. It's nice. Because Texas football is a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
Obviously, as we all know.
It's the biggest deal.
There you go, Case. You got to say that. You're not wrong either. No, you got to say. California might quibble at that and a few others, but I got you.
I used to know the stat.
They can think what they want.
Yeah. I used to know the stat case of the NFL guys from Texas and Florida, and I haven't kept up with it in years. But
you got Stafford. You got Colt McCoy. They're all over the place.
Yeah, they definitely are. As you think about, you know, the upcoming season, you know, one for you, what is the upcoming season going to be like for you? You still with the Browns? Where do you see yourself?
Well, with the Browns, I've got a contract there, you know, still 2 years left in my contract, and man, I'm excited to be there. It's a great spot. You know, I think probably we all can imagine and, you know, expect now the unexpected just with COVID and how things go and who knows what's going to happen. So, yeah, no, I love the Browns. I love being there. I love Baker, Coach Stefanski, the guys there. And it's a great place to play, and we love it. And Cleveland, man, Cleveland's great.
Yeah, it's a great city.
I mean, COVID anywhere right now is kind of shut down, but man, Cleveland really embraced us with open arms, and I'm excited to experience it.
Oh, some of the best fans in the sport. Yeah, I mean, what they've gone through and how they keep coming back, they're phenomenal.
Right, but Case, let me follow up. Now that you are now that you had this season, and the expectation is now has been met. Right, the expectation from 2 years ago wasn't met. The expectation from this year was met. The expectation is going to be even higher for 2021. You know, how do you guys stay on track, stay on course to continue to rise? Because it's been a while, as BT mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough, and that's why this game is so tough. And you respect the guys who have stayed on top for as long as they have. You know, the guys who are playing this weekend, and it's tough to do. So I think that's what Kevin and Andrew and the guys upstairs have really preached, and just being about the work that, you know, we're going to work no matter what situation is put in front of us. Whether, you know, we have positive tests and we can't practice all week, so we're going to, you know, all Zoom call and do Zoom virtual walkthroughs and get ready to play that way, then we'll do it. Or, you know, if the off season has to do this or this, whatever, we're going to work and we're going to get after the work. And what's great to have the guys who are ready, willing, and able to do that.
Hey, Case, real quick, when you say virtual Zoom walkthrough, like, are you, like, legitimately walking around while you're on the Zoom call? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, some guys are. Some guys are, you know, picturing making the play or whatever, you know, going through reads in your basement. Baker calls the play, and one by one, everybody talks about where they line up and what route they run and what the plays and checks and –
Dude, that's bizarre, man.
It was interesting.
That is bizarre. I can't even imagine that. I can't imagine everyone paying attention. Like, that's the hardest part. Because, I mean, I know guys would sleep in meetings when I was playing. Like, how the heck are you getting them sitting in your basement to actually pay attention to that? It's kind of awesome that you guys were able to have success with all that going on, especially now near the end of the season.
It was impressive. because it was a must win. Obviously, it's a playoff game for us.
Yeah,
basically
no doubt.
That last game of the year, and you know, to see guys, you know, lock in and know what to do, and man, game plan plays that we had never really gotten to practice, you know, go execute them, and it was cool to see. Guys got a special group, that's for sure.
When you guys played the Jets, the penultimate game of the season, that was when all the receivers were out. As you know, I'm just kind of refreshing for people who might not know. And you know, somehow the Jets played a decent game. I looked at that and I heard, and I believe this is true, that you guys had a walkthrough in the stadium parking lot on game day morning. First of all, is that true?
Yes. Oh,
okay. So Teague, forget about being in the basement. These guys are in the MetLife parking lot. Wow. Hours before the game. With four receivers that basically nobody knows, with all due respect. And, you know, understandable that you guys weren't a whole that game. But the Steelers game, and I know you just read, but the Steelers game, the details will blur over the years. But for you guys to come out and score the first 28 points, what you guys did that game was among the most impressive things I've ever seen in my life watching football. I think you're going to tell me, we were ready to play and we expected to win, but you can't tell us that you expected to dominate that first quarter after what you guys went through, because that's not an answer I think I can accept. There's no way that you thought you were going to do that. There's no way.
You know, I think every game, and you guys know, like, you going into a game, if you've done anything, there's unknown, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that creates some nerves, some, you know, I don't like to call it anxiety, but just some nerves and some, you know, some feelings of, you know, whatever things that might creep up, you know, and you rely on your training and you're like, okay, I worked this practice, you know, we had a great week of practice. We, you know, worked through all these issues and problems that we, you know, perceive coming up, you know, and that week it was, you know, probably a bigger, you know, there's more room for those type things to creep in, those thoughts to creep in of, you know, what it is that might happen this week, just because we didn't have, you know, practice specifically for this game. And, you know, you kind of have to go back and rely on, you know what, like, if I'm a receiver, I've run routes my whole life and caught balls my whole life. I'm a quarterback, I've done, you know, thrown and done this. So, you know, I think guys just, you know, related kind of back to their, you know, overall training and just, you know, their entire life and what they've, grown up doing and preparing for moments like that. So it's unfortunate, but I think, one of these days when the story does get spread out to where, none of us practiced at all and, none of us saw each other and we can exaggerate however much we want.
Exactly. It'll be a pretty fun story.
Hey, Case, tell us about Fill the Stadium and your partnership with Compassion International. This is a really great initiative.
Yeah, we're excited about this, man. And I appreciate you guys having me on to talk about this. But it really hits home, kind of like the Pittsburgh game and the Jets game that you talked about where there's no fans at the stadium. And I don't know if you guys had a chance to be at any of those games. Yeah. And it's kind of eerie. It's kind of strange. Obviously, everybody right now during these times are going through some, something, whether it's medically, with your health or financially or just, family, friends, issues, just there's so many things going on. And, pairing up with Compassion International, they did a deal called Fill the Stadium and using those examples of just nobody being at these games where there's children, across the world, that Compassion International has been helping, for a long, long time. And, they wanted to really reach out and up their game, especially during this time where so many people are hurting, especially charities, nonprofits. So, they're partnered together with some pro athletes to try to support 70,000 kids across the world.
That's awesome.
Just to meet basic hygiene needs, food, nutritional, just living situations, just to support them for the next year. And right now I think they're about, 25,000 kids so far, have been helped, but there's still, a lot more room to grow and they really need people's help. And, using the picture of an empty stadium and all those fans that might go to a game, you might spend a couple $100 for tickets, parking, spend another couple $100 to get to the game, the gear, whatever it is, that $500 that you might spend going to a game. If you thought about doing that this year and weren't able to do that, if you could give to Fill the Stadium, it's fillthestadium.com. You can search for it that way. But if you can give that $500, man, that'll fill your seat. That'll fill a seat. That'll help a kid for a year. And it's a great initiative. You can find out more online. But I'm really proud, and my wife and I get to partner with them to be able to help fill a stadium.
You should be. It's an amazing initiative, as Tiki said. And we'll tweet out some of the info for you, Case. We're a little bit late.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll take care of you on that. And anything for the kids, that goes without saying. So keep doing what you do. Next step for the Brownies, who knows? Maybe the Browns are champions next year. Wouldn't surprise us. You guys have a lot of talent. So we all enjoyed the season. It was a blast watching you guys grow and build, and the perseverance throughout the circumstances was beyond impressive. So just a lot of respect to the entire franchise, man. Good having you on the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all having me, man.
Appreciate you, Case.
There you go. Case Keenum of the Browns, back up to Baker, and we'll get some of that info in case you want to help out and get some money for the kids for sure. Let's get a break here, T. Coming up, Brett Favre said something pretty interesting that we'll react to, and it's coming up next right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So Brett Favre, who is very interesting. Brett gives you a lot of stuff to chew on, whether it's on the radio, whether it's doing some interviews. Favre has had at least four or five instances, maybe more this year, where something that he said opened up a very interesting dialogue, which keeps him in the news cycle. And I never get the impression that Brett is, calculated that he says something just to get a couple of clicks or a little pop. I just think he's, old school, blue collar, shoots from the hip, and he tells you what he's thinking. And usually, what he's thinking is pretty poignant, interesting stuff, including what we're about to get into when he brought up the notion that, what Patrick Mahomes is going through right now with the protocol for the NFL, that this is indeed, Teak, there, a real barometer, a great measurement of just how, shall we say, stringent they are with these concussion protocols. If it's even a concussion, some reports say it's nerve damage. We talked about that. His head barely hit the ground. It seemed to snap, which could obviously violently rattle the brain, for lack of a better description. Who knows? Whatever it is, he's still going through the protocol, and there's no guarantee that he's going to play this weekend. But when you hear a guy from your era say this, I know it rings to your heart. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. We should hear it. This is Brett Favre talking about Pat Mahomes and what the NFL needs to, should do, maybe won't.
I can promise you, because I've been there, he's going to feel absolutely 100% ready to play. Just say he has a headache on Friday. Is he going to tell him? You know, I doubt it. He wants to play. For years, up until 10 years ago, there was no protocol in place. And once you felt better, which could have been 3 or 4 hours, you were back out playing. That's not the case anymore. And he will want to play, whether or not he passes the baseline test that he took initially and the doctors feel he's able. This is a test for the NFL right now to see a star player in a crucial, crucial game. What will happen with their decision?
Danny's right, BT. Look, I see this every week when guys get dinged and they get up. And we talked about this before. It's like, oh, my shoulders hurt. They were clearly knocked out, or at least close to it. Dinged. They were concussed. But they're like, oh, my shoulder. Yeah, I got a stinger. And then they're miraculously back in the game 2 plays later, and there's no issue because they didn't have to go into the locker room and take the concussion test. Now, that's also
tent.
Not
– or the tent.
Or the tent. Yeah, that's the tent. That's right. They pull up the tent now. But let's not forget that there is a Peyton Manning. Remember when this first came out? Maybe he was jokingly admitting that he was going to dumb down the answers.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You remember this?
Yes,
he was going to dumb down the answers
on the baseline test
so that if he ever had to be, take the test while he was concussed, he could still pass it. Mm-hmm. But he's right. I mean, what Brett Favre is right. He's absolutely right. If you get a concussion on a Sunday and then, Thursday, you still have a little bit of a headache, you shouldn't be able to pass this test, even if you can cognitively answer the questions and pass the baseline. But because that's the definition of a lingering concussion. And we all know that it's more dangerous if you get subsequent ones. And so this is a test for the NFL. The challenge is that we're not going to know, unless he gets another concussion. We're going to have no idea whether or not the NFL or the Chiefs or Pat Mahomes played when he played and knowingly, had a concussion and shouldn't have. We're not going to know that unless he gets another concussion, which can easily just be chalked up to he just got another concussion.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. That's where I was going to go, actually. And you take me there, because what Brett Favre said is absolutely on the money. It's spot on. He'd lived it for all those consecutive games.
Yeah.
But it's almost, and I don't begrudge him for saying that. I really appreciate the transparency. But in a lot of ways, it almost puts the NFL in an incredibly unenviable position, because if Mahomes does play, and let's face it, at this point, I think we'd all be surprised if he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But if he does play, then there will be skeptics, and there will be articles, and there will be tweets, and there will be clicks, basically espousing what Brett Favre just said. That, listen, was he really clear? I mean, did they kind of look the other way? Did he lie to them? Whatever. And on some level, it makes a mockery, waters down the process, right?
Yeah.
But we won't necessarily know. There's a chance that everything fully subsides. He passes everything with flying colors, and he truly is ready and should be given the green light to play.
Mm-hmm.
But there'll still be critics and skeptics out there, and detractors of just how letter of the law this was adhered to, because it's the right to go to the Super Bowl for the defending MVP and the defending Super Bowl MVP champion. So, I mean, interpretations could be all over the map with this, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. And we all know that the concussion issue is a sensitive one, obviously physically sensitive, but think about the Alex Smith self-reporting of his concussion. It ended his career in San Francisco. Now, that was probably for the best, because he went to Kansas City and turned into a really great player there.
Yep.
Consistently, double-digit wins, I think, every year that he was there. So he was, it worked out well. But nobody wants to self-report a concussion or the symptoms. Brett Favre is absolutely right about that. And if it came down to it and they had to sit Pat Mahomes, that's just football. It's just a risk you take, right? Think about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl when they played the the Oakland Raiders, and Barrett Robbins went missing.
Yeah.
Right. And people kind of, oh, it's just the offensive lineman, but it was the center, right? Yeah. They couldn't adjust. They couldn't call any calls. I think Tim Brown was telling us this. He couldn't call any calls at the line of scrimmage because your center was out. And so now all of a sudden you're back to basics, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, whose head coach was just with the Oakland Raiders, knew every one of those calls. And so it just created a disadvantage that you just have to live with. And the Kansas City Chiefs, if Pat Mahomes can't play, Chad Henne, you're the man. Step up.
So get those legs ready.
Next man up, businessman. Yeah. You got to be the guy. Figure it out.
Yeah,
figure
and he'll be ready.
Yeah, I don't know if
he's
going to
win, but he'll be ready. You know, the only thing, and again, I think he's going to play. That's not based on any intel. I just have a sense he's going to play. I mean, that's what my gut is saying. We'll find out. But
me too.
Somebody like Favre, and you know, so you got Favre on this end of the spectrum who would play through anything, literally, and did. And Mahomes, who obviously is physically resilient to it because with his kneecap, he only missed a couple of games. But the kneecap is not the head.
Yeah.
And the kneecap, eventually you might have an arthritic knee, which could lead to knee replacement. But that's, you know, years and years. And it won't alter your ability to comprehend and enjoy the money that you've made, right?
Yeah.
A lack of functionality with the brain certainly would. A young player like Mahomes in his mid-20s who grew up in a totally different concussion culture, right?
Yeah.
Imagine if he, you know, looks at it very differently and says, you know what, I'm not fully right.
I don't see that.
I don't either.
That.
No, I don't. I definitely don't see that. But what I'm saying is if a modern player of his magnitude in this moment actually was very honest with the symptoms reporting and did not play, that player would get crushed.
Well, he'd get crushed, but I just don't think.
Unjustly, but he'd get crushed.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, and I'm not even disagreeing with you, but think about the sport we're talking about. This is a highly violent sport that you choose to play. Pat Mahomes could have played baseball if he wanted to.
Yeah.
I could have done something else. To choose to play football, you're almost choosing the risk, and especially once you get into the NFL, and especially if you know that there are concussion issues, or even if you have one, it's still a choice. And I've always wondered this. And this is less about concussions, but I think about a guy, you know, like a Earl Campbell, who just got the crap beat out of him. And he's beat up. He's only like 57 or 58 at this point, but he basically got bad knees and he limps around. And I always wonder, like, would you trade your career for health? I bet the majority, and I'm not talking, I don't know if it's like 51%. I'm thinking more like 75% will say, yeah, probably higher. You're right, BT. We'll say, you know what? I'll take what I have now for the career that I had playing this most atrocious of games.
Yep.
And it's not even about the money because they didn't even make money back then. It's about achieving something that other people just can't do.
100%.
Right? Like 100%. People think all the time, I could have done what you did. No, I promise you couldn't have.
Nope. Right? I would have had no chance. Literally 0.00% chance to do that.
Right? So
zero.
To have the glory and the achievement is something that it makes you not make prudent choices when it comes to your body. And in this case with Pat Mahomes, even his mind.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And to give you the last word on that, you certainly know more than me. I think you nailed it. Let's get the update. Teak here from ACK. We'll come back, hit you with the Blast. ACK's update right now. All right, we're going to get to the Blast in a moment. I did see this probably about 15 or 20 minutes ago. Don Sutton, Hall of Famer, rest in peace. He passed away. I know that his son put a tweet out earlier today. I believe his son's name is Darren. And Don passed away in his sleep, 75 years young, not incredibly old by any standards, and Hall of Famer, 324 wins. But it's amazing. He came in the mid-60s, Teague, right? Just imagine, you talk about longevity in baseball, right, versus that of football.
Mm-hmm.
Comes in, I want to say 66 was his first year. He almost made it to 1990. He played up until the late 80s.
Wow.
Think about the difference.
Epic. That's epic.
When he came in, it was black and white. When he left, it was almost high def.
Yeah.
I mean, almost. But it just a really good man, a Hall of Fame pitcher. He did a lot of great things off the field. But just wanted to get that out. Condolences and rest in peace to a Hall of Famer and to his entire family. So, Teak, you ready to hit the blast? See what we got?
Yep.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Seattle's reportedly reached out to Adam Gase. Somebody did, regarding their offensive coordinator opening. I certainly wouldn't give him a vote, but hey, could Gase work in Seattle with Russell Wilson, or do we see this for another disaster for Adam Gase? What a disaster!
I mean, I don't know. I don't even know how to answer this.
How do you answer this?
I mean, I'm all for giving a guy another chance.
I can answer it this way. Russell Wilson's too good for Adam Gase to ruin.
Yeah,
that's
maybe.
Probably one way to answer it.
Possibly.
Although the second half wasn't that good.
Look, as long as he's diligent and going to put in the work and see what Russell does well and expand upon that, I'll say yeah, but I don't even know how to answer this question, honestly. I just thought it was interesting because of who they obviously traded for.
That's where I was going to go. Yeah, with Jamal Adams. Jamal was throwing some shade toward the Jets and certainly at Adam Gase. But I'm not even too worried about that. You know, if the move does come down. And by the way, I think Adam Gase is a worker. I think he's much more suited to be a number two as a coordinator than a head coach. That's painfully apparent for both Dolphins and Jet fans here. But, you know, if they do hire him, all Pete Carroll has to say is, hey, listen, to Jamal Adams, I believe in him. I know whatever happened. And then Adams and Gase, they shake hands like grown men and different sides of the ball, and then you go to work. But I don't think that will be an issue.
No, I don't either. I just think it's interesting.
Interesting, yes. Issue, not necessarily. Chris Olave, wide receiver for the Buckeyes, announced yesterday that he would return to Columbus for his senior season. Now, Kuiper has him ranked as the 7th best receiver in the draft and a potential first rounder. So, is Olave making the right decision returning to school? Well, first of all, anytime, you know, a young man says, I'm going to return to school, I'm not going to get on the air and say it's the wrong decision, because I think it's great for growth and I think it's great for the pursuit of academics. And maybe he doesn't want his last memory as a Buckeye to be in front of a swath of empty seats or zero bodies in the horseshoe. Or what, 8,000 people at the Big Ten championship game that Tiki called on the radio. There's something to be said for once that time expires, you never get it back. I have tremendous respect for that decision.
Yeah, I agree. Look, Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, these are the guys at the top of the Terrace Marshall you forget about from LSU.
Yep.
The kid from Florida, Tony. So there's a bunch of guys that are just currently listed above him. And could he benefit from another year? Of course he could. But there's a little bit of a crapshoot because we don't know who his quarterback is going to be.
I was just going to say that. Great point.
You're rolling the dice a little bit, but you are going to be the man. And you have a chance to elevate yourself to a mid-first round or top first-round pick next year. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any fault in this, so he's fine.
There you go. All right, despite the loss to the Bulls last night, Victor Oladipo dropped 32 in his Rockets debut. When and if Oladipo and John Wall are in the lineup together, can Houston make a playoff push?
Playoff push?
Year it's the top 10 playing.
You know what? Yeah, I think they can. Yeah, I think absolutely they can. I mean, I almost forget about that, PT, that they're using the same rules from last year.
Yeah.
As far as the playoffs are concerned and the play-in type of situation. Yeah, they definitely can because they're two elite scorers when they're healthy. And that hasn't been the case for either one of them over the last couple of years. In fact, I thought Oladipo was going to be more interested in being a singer than he was, because he's a really good artist.
Very, very good.
Right?
Yes.
But I'm going to say, yeah, I think they can. As long as they're healthy and they're playing together, absolutely.
I do, too. I read an interesting article today where Wall and DeMarcus Cousins basically confronted, I don't mean like they wanted to fight him, but they called him out in front of the team with James Harden. You know, what are you doing here, man? Basically, two guys who came back from, in the case of a Boogie, multiple catastrophic athletic injuries. These guys are saying, hey, we didn't rehab for this nonsense.
Yep.
That could be a galvanizing thing. And the one thing that I've seen from Wall, he has not lost a lot of burst. He's still popping. He's still very fast, which is good. And I think they could make a little, but not a move necessarily to win anything, but a push for the playoffs. Yeah, I'm with you. Absolutely. All right, the Mavericks got waxed by the Raptors last night, 116-93. They've lost three straight games. So despite Luka's strong statistical numbers to start the season, are we willing to take Doncic out of the MVP discussion for now because of the Mavericks' slow start? Absolutely. I mean, there's nobody that was quicker to the Doncic party than me, but there's nobody who's going to be more real than me. He came into camp, he was out of shape. He's got about 5 or 6, 7 pounds hanging around that he needs to get rid of because it's affecting his elevation and his burst. Obviously, you know, having Porzingis miss the first, I guess it was 10 or 11 games of the season didn't help. They need some time to gain some chemistry. He's got to get his act together. The numbers are there. Again, as the question says, statistically, he's balling, but not quite the same Doncic a year ago, and I got to penalize him for that. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I think you definitely take him out of the MVP conversation. But as I said yesterday, any NBA conversation that we have in the first, I don't know, month or so here, BT,
yeah.
I'm gonna give guys the benefit of the doubt,
yeah,
and say this is not what I'm expecting for the remainder of the season, and certainly not, you know, once you get into the playoff push. It's just such an odd offseason. So, but you have to take him out of it because he's not playing good basketball right now, or consistent enough basketball, or good enough team up basketball. He's done, had some good nights, but it's been kind of let me do it all. 36 points, 17 assists, you know, 14 rebound, a triple double he had a couple of nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he'll be back in it quickly though.
For the first time since 1961. 1961. You got Duke, UNC, and Kentucky all outside the AP Top 25 this season. So what, if anything, does this tell you about the state of college hoops? I think this is you first.
The teams are not practicing. That they, some of them haven't played in 2 weeks. They lose any kind of momentum or teachable moments because they don't play for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's just an odd existence. It's one thing for pros to do this because they're paid to be, it's what they do. But for college kids who also are worrying about, you know, their classes, which are also virtual, and, you know, staying healthy, it's this is just one of those. Doesn't tell me anything about college football other than that we're in a pandemic year. Or college basketball, I should say.
Okay, but to me, it does tell me that there's not a lot of lottery picks on either team for the first time ever. Like, that it tells me. I was watching North Carolina a little bit last night. We've seen Duke a few times this year. Mm-hmm. Kentucky's been a complete disaster. Nobody's rumored to go top one, top five, top seven. Like, there's just a dearth of superstars, of elite blue chip, that level players on those three programs, and that's a rarity. And then you mix in the transfer market. A lot of mid-majors have been ransacked, and a lot of the mid-major stars have gone to maybe secondary schools and power conferences. So Carolina and Duke and Kentucky, their job is made harder. Then you throw in the pandemic stuff. It's a wacky year, but they are not as powerful as they usually are. I don't have a problem saying. Good show, T. Good stuff tonight on a Tuesday.
Agreed, brother. Likewise.
All right, man. We will see you tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday. We'll start to really ramp up the conference championship coverage tomorrow. And that's it. Hit us up on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Safe, sensible, same. We'll catch you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.